Hey, Elsie.
Hi, Jess.
What are you giggling about?
Well, because I was just imagining you and I as five-year-olds. And, like, this is the intro. No, listen.
What?
You and I as five-year-olds. And this is the intro music. And we're, like, behind the scenes. You know, like, we're in the wings of the stage.
Yeah.
And this is the intro music. You know, the She Podcast, like, a little jingle. And then, like, it's, like, time to go in. And I'm looking at you with, like, deer in the headlights. And you're, like, go, go.
It's your turn.
Push. Go on the stage.
Both of us in like little Polly Flinders dresses.
Yes.
Did you ever wear those? Do you know what that is even?
No, I don't.
Oh, my God. Have you ever seen pictures of little girls? I don't know if you guys had this. I mean, I know you came to El Salvador and you're like eight, right? So like between the ages of like 4 to 8, my mother would go to these like in-home shows, kind of like a Tupperware show for Polly Flinders dresses. And they were dresses with not big puffy skirt, like a wedding dress, but like almost like a Little House on the Prairie dress. The bodice was always ruffled with flowers and pearls.
Oh, I
and
see what they are now. Is that what they are? That's
yes.
That's a thing. Yes, I had those.
Yes.
I totally had those.
Us in our Polly Flinders dresses.
Oh my God. I had those dresses.
Yeah. You did? You did have Polly Flinders. So like if you Google Polly Flinders.
I just did.
Yeah, God help us.
Yeah, I totally.
My mother could have had her own Polly Flinders dress. It's almost as if we were her own personal Cabbage Patch dolls.
Yes.
So that's me and you. Yeah. Like, you go. No, you go. You go. Elsa, it's your turn. Go.
I know. So anyway, I don't know why that flashed in my head.
Me either, but it's adorable.
You know, so anyway, just thought it was hilarious. That would be a flashback for our show. You know,
yeah,
like.
Totally.
Oh my God, that's a whole other thing. But before, let's get this out of the way really quick. Guys, Pod Fusion is coming up. It's already the end of November, early December here, guys, actually. So, ish, kind of, sort of. And you guys need to come make your plans, like, right now. Go to shepodcast.com/podfusion to find out about our event, which is happening the third week of February. It's going to be off the hook, and you guys get $77 if you buy your ticket now using the coupon code SHEPODCASTS, one word. If you have any questions about it, you can email info@shepodcast.com to see, like, you know, if you should come or whatever. Just to make sure, but it's going to be an event that you do not want to miss. You're going to feel like, what is it called? MOFO or FOMO? What is it called?
Well, it's not MOFO.
It's not MOFO. It's
FOMO. Is FOMO is fear of missing out. MOFO is a little different.
Sorry. Don't tell me. So
MOFO. MOFO is another way of saying bad mamma jamma.
Oh,
I guess
okay,
it's a nice
whatever.
Way of saying that.
Geez, sorry. Anyway, FOMO. So if you're afraid of missing out and everybody's doing stuff you're not part of, and just get your ticket. Get a road. Oh, get a road trip. Go on a road trip. That's how we're gonna get to Florida. We're doing a road trip.
And, Pod Fusion. I'm so excited.
It's gonna be so fun. So yeah. So get your tickets, and we will remind you at the end of the show. But how about we start with some feedback, Jess? You requested to get some feedback about having a vegan Thanksgiving, and we got it.
We certainly got it. Well, first of all, I just want to say for the record that she's not vegan.
Okay.
Because she can't stay away from cheese to save her life. I knew it was going to happen.
All right.
But I did find out why the veganism. A, cows are very smart. B, pigs are very smart. C, she doesn't like the way chickens are treated.
Okay, so it's more of like a...
And D, she's always hated fish. So she doesn't have to be a vegan, but she's going to be probably like vegetarian, I guess,
all right,
by whatever choice. But yeah, we got a lot of feedback about, about lots of stuff. Vegan Thanksgiving, so we can start with Rebecca. Mm-hmm. It was such a fun email that she sent. And some recipes.
I know, and just in case you guys want to do it, you always want to check it out.
Helpful.
Yeah.
But not for me. Okay, this is her first vegan Thanksgiving. And she says, I don't even know what the fuck I was going to eat on Thanksgiving until about a month ago. But here are the recipes I'm making. Vegan butternut squash linguine with fried sage, which sounds so delicious.
It does sound great.
And then she says she's made it twice in the past couple months. She puts vegan cheese on top, puts it in the oven. Yeah, it sounds really good. And then vegan biscuits. And the boyfriend's not vegan. He's eating turkey. We're just subbing out Earth Balance for butter, which, by the way, is delicious. I don't know if you ever had Earth Balance,
that's what we use in the house.
Yeah, usually. It's delicious. You can't tell it's not butter. And stuffing a mashed potato recipe. Almond milk works instead of milk for potatoes.
Hey, we are an almond milk house and coconut milk house. We do a lot of milk that's not milk here in this house, and we're not vegan. Oh my goodness.
Almond milk works instead of milk. And then here's another option she considered, which is 1 hour vegan pot. If you're eating a pot pie though on Thanksgiving, just go out to a restaurant. Pot pie is not, I don't agree with pot pie for Thanksgving.
I really like pot pies, but
it's not appropriate. It's inappropriate like for Thanksgiving, in my opinion. You don't
it's my
ever?
My least favorite food ever. Yeah. It's not something it like, the, if you give me a pot pie, like,
why? Is it the mush or is
I
it
I just
like
don't
the,
understand it. I do not get the concept of the bread on
what
the
about
outside.
Shepherd's
and the,
pie. Do you
I
eat
don't
that?
Even know what that is. It's I mean, kind I've of seen like, it in the movies.
When have you seen shepherd's pie in a movie?
Well, people talk about shepherd's pie and show shepherd's pie.
Yeah, but you haven't actually looked at one. What movie is highlighting shepherd's pie? All right, so basically it's kind of like some version of a beef stew, and people make it all different ways.
Oh, my God.
It's some version of a beef stew, and then instead of biscuit on top, it's mashed potato.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I'm not a mashed potato girl either, so that's probably why it does not. But anyway, everybody else can do it. We'll have these recipes in our show notes today. And then she also did not like tofurkey.
She says it's effing disgusting. I don't know from this experience. We're not all that crazy.
Yeah.
And she asked why she decided she was vegan, and because she's always interested in vegan motivations. Yeah. So it's really just a matter of this is what I like to eat and what I feel like eating, I guess. And yeah, she says it's too many vegetables for a comfort food day. And I agree. A whole day of – I mean, you eat a lot of vegetables anyway because you're vegan. But like Thanksgiving's all about the taters, man. Eight kinds of taters.
It's taters,
corn, stuffing, and taters.
Yeah,
that's
not
Thanksgiving.
Cool. None of my stuff.
Well,
like the only potatoes
have?
I really love are like French fries. That's about the extent of my potatoes.
Wait a second. First of all, nothing a potato can do will offend me. Nothing. I would eat a potato in any form, even filthy, dirty off the floor. I'll eat it.
I do not like them. I actually will – like Randy loves mashed potatoes, as do the girls. They just started to get into mashed potatoes, and so I will make it for them, but I will not touch
them.
I do not like them.
I like them in a box. I like them with a
fox. Oh, my God. I was just about to say that.
I would eat them here and there. I would eat them anywhere. But actually, I really – my least favorite is probably garlic mashed potatoes. That feels very salty to me. But, I mean, I would eat them pretty much any other way. So mashed potatoes and gravy. So my house is turkey. Turkey, stuffing in the turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, sweet potatoes, stuffing. I actually usually skip corn, but I would not be opposed to having it. Green bean casserole. And this year Scott wants like baked pineapple. Basically, what's funny is that like Scott does not like the Thanksgiving meal. So now I realize when I was like, Scott, what kind of stuff do you want me to make for Thanksgiving? I realized that he actually gave me enough stuff where I'm actually making two dinners because I'm making all the stuff I just said. And then he would like ham, asparagus, and baked pineapple. So I realized I'm actually making two dinners. I think what's going to happen is we're going to go out. I'm just having this feeling we're going to go out because I think my sister-in-law is not going to want to come. She's starting to get kind of like, you know, lack of a better word, pissy. She's pissy around this time of year. Mm. And I think she just sent me a text. She's like, I don't know if I can stop the pissy. I may not be able to come. And I was like, all right. So we may just go out or go to my dad's What about you? What are you making? What are you doing?
I like turkey, roasted vegetables, and cranberry sauce.
Oh, I forgot about cranberry.
That's
about
the
scratch.
I would love to. Yes, I love
doing that.
It's so easy. I love to do that. So there was this like recipe that I found on Paleo Magazine.
Yeah.
And it's a
magazine
slow
that
cooker.
Sounds delicious already. You
know, slow cooker turkey breast with roasted roots and cranberry sauce. So it's got basically exactly what I want, which is roasted vegetables and a turkey breast and cranberry sauce. And that is it. That's what I mean, that would be my Thanksgiving dinner. Now, with the fam, mashed potatoes would probably have to be added to the mix. And the other thing I love is Brussels sprouts, like cooked with bacon and cheese and all that fun stuff. Like I love
everyone
those
else
kind of
in the family loves that, but me.
Yes, yeah. So that's what I like. like. I do not like gravy. I do not like stuffing. I do not like mashed potato. Like, I just won't eat that. I just don't like it.
All of it is the best food I ever had.
Yeah, that's not good. I do not like.
It's all my favorite things, all in one meal.
But she also mentioned, you know, in her email, she was talking about that Doritos actually have some tiny bit of real animal products. Like she says, whey. I knew that it was something like that. Comes from milk and is in the nacho and ranch flavors. But the purple bag of Doritos, spicy chili maybe, is vegan. Who knew?
Listen, you can't get away with eating a Dorito and not have some kind of sin along with it. So an animal product makes sense.
Yeah. And then Oreos
are vegan.
That's the least
probably of our problems even with a Dorito.
Well, see, this is what I'm a little bit scared about. Oreos are vegan. So what's in the heck? What is the stuff in the middle?
Not dairy.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, what is it made of?
It's like sugar.
And?
Lard. No, that because it's vegan. Wait, what is it?
I'm a little bit scared
by that.
It's
like sugar and well, you
and
knew
sugar.
It wasn't cream. I mean, come on.
I know.
It's like, wait, what do they make buttercream frosting out of? It's that shit.
Okay, I have no idea what that is. And I have not eaten Oreos.
I'm
going to
go
I
with
remember.
Flour, corn syrup, sugar. What else could we do to make something creamy but without having it be creamy? Not margarine, because that would be gross in the middle of a cookie.
I do not know.
Maybe not. I don't know. I can't believe they're vegan. I had no idea.
I know. See that? This is what I'm saying. It's like it's got to be some kind of...
Definitely unsettling.
And I'm not sure this is like the the article that I just found, it says, wait till you hear what's in an Oreo filling.
Oh, my God.
Okay, here we go. Hold on. I just want to skip to what it is.
Let's do it.
Okay, so it seems this is the cookie filling. One envelope of Knox unflavored gelatin, 1/4 cup of cold water, 1 cup of Crisco, one teaspoon.
Crisco, that's the one. That's what I was thinking when I said lard.
Okay, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1 pound plus of 1 cup of powdered sugar. So that is what's in your filling. Oh my God, that's gross.
And yet delicious.
Ugh, that makes me blah. But anyway, so now you know.
Are
guys.
You under the impression that vegan food is healthy? Don't be. It's
well,
not.
I'm
a lot
not.
Of vegan people have terrible cholesterol.
I know. Well, that's what she actually mentioned that. But anyway, she says on a health note, make sure that she's taking B vitamins. It's literally the only supplement vegans can't get from plants, either B12 or B6, maybe both. Google it. So anyway, thank you, Rebecca, for that. That was awesome.
Thanks, Rebecca.
And if you're
listening now, you've realized that it's the day before Thanksgiving. We already gave you our Thanksgiving episode.
Yes.
2 days ago. And now we're going to stop talking about Thanksgiving food.
Yes, we are. Because it could be a Christmas dinner. You know, it could be like heading to the end
That's
of the
true.
Year or, I mean,
there's really
like
never
that.
A bad day to eat a big ass turkey.
Yeah.
You can quote me on that.
Just don't have Oreos because that's gross.
No.
That's
not
according
today.
To me. That's according to me.
I'm not a big Oreo fan.
I'm not an Oreo fan at all.
The news you can use for the informed podcaster, podcasting news. Warning for podcasters. Before you launch your podcast during the holidays, please know these dates. It's the most wonderful time of the year when podcasters take a break. Your listeners either stop listening or binge listen. You try to put out an episode as hard as you can. And the holiday end of the year duties get in the way. Holiday duty gets in the way. And then when you're ready to do it, something goes wonky. Did you write this, Elsie?
Yes,
it definitely
I did.
Feels like an Elsie article.
Yes,
especially
I did.
When you get to the gah. G-A-H exclamation point. That is Elsie's exclamation. The gah! Mine is a Kathy Guy's white. I do ack. She does gah. Okay. So we want to prepare you. This is a Libsyn article, by the way, that we're going to be posting for you in our show notes, shepodcast.com. In case you happen to be scheduling big releases, new podcast launches, or simply keeping up your current podcast schedule, you need support from Apple. The iTunes team takes a holiday, and their support is on a different schedule than normal. So this article will give you the gist. But basically, if you want to launch the first week of December, you got to have it in the 28th of November.
Which is today.
Oops. The second week of December, next week on the 5th. The third, you know, before Christmas, you got to have it in by the 12th. Before New Year's, you got to have it in by the 12th. Before the week after New Year's, you got to have it in by the 12th. Basically, if you submit after the 12th, you're not
you're
seeing
screwed.
That shit till after New Year's. Okay.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. Don't fret. I'm not going to have it up January 1st. Listen, you're going to find something to do that you forgot. Consider this a gift from iTunes. Okay. Mm. You're going to submit your show. You're going to realize it's not up. A week later, you're going to go, I don't have a Facebook page for my show. Kaboom! Gift from God. Mm-hmm. Because now you have time to get everything ready so that when you're finally launching, you have all the pieces in place. If you don't know what all the pieces in place are that you want or need, hey, here's an idea. Check out our beginners free class, shepodcast.com/101. I don't know how many beginners. You know, I should do a survey to see how many beginners we have versus the advanced puppies. But like... anyway, if you are new to the group, new to, you know, there's lots of good free courses out there. shepodcast.com/101 is free and updated. I know a lot of people will go to the Pat Flynn one, but that one I don't think has been updated in a bit. So,
yeah. So basically,
look at ours, for Christ's sake.
Look at ours.
Okay, so now that I've read Elsie's article, I wish I had an article that I wrote that she can read.
I know. Wouldn't that be fun? So, but wait,
tell us about a free year of hosting from Libsyn.
Yeah. So this whole – it's super easy, guys. So basically starting – I think you guys missed the first one, but you have 4 more weeks to do this. Every Friday on Twitter and Facebook, I've been putting a post up that is promote the Tarot of Yourself Friday. And people do that. And all you have to do is basically comment on the post and promote your latest episode. So because it's so hard to publish episodes towards the end of the year, like people are slacking, you kind of take a break, you don't come back and things like that, we wanted to give you an incentive. So what we've done is every Friday for the same thing, for the Promote the Tarot of Yourself Friday, all you have to do is comment with your latest episode, and it needs to have been released in the past week. So, you know, if we post the post on Friday for you to comment in, your latest episode needs to have been released in the last week in order for you to qualify. So you get an opportunity to participate for 5 total Fridays all the way till the end of the year. And we will add you to basically a list of people, and we will pick 3 people that promoted themselves and give them a free year. Random drawing. So super simple. And there's a blog post giving you all the rules and regulations about it. But we wanted to make it so that it's kind of like a no-brainer, like, why not? Instead of having you have to go through hoops, all you have to do is comment or respond or reply on Twitter. How's that, Jess?
That is amazing. So exciting. A free year of hosting for Libsyn is
fun.
The new podcaster's dream, I think.
Yeah, and you don't have to host with Libsyn. So if you have been thinking of moving to Libsyn, or you're wanting to, you know, start a podcast, oh, well, you can't really do that because you need to promote your your episode. So if you happen to already have a podcast.
Wait, so is it meant for people that are already on Libsyn?
No, it's meant for people who already have a podcast. Because
okay,
the
so
idea.
Listen to me, you SoundCloud hosters and you Blog Talk Radio hosters. Take it from your friendly neighborhood agent. Get the hell away from those stats. Libsyn has the best stats. They are the standard that I need to look at. Any other, I mean, Blueberry actually is pretty good, but like, we're not talking about them right now. We're talking about Libsyn. And if you're on SoundCloud, and if you're on, especially Blog Talk, man, I have the hardest time trying to get stats from those two, SoundCloud and Blog Talk. Come on over to Libsyn. You can get a free year.
You can get a free year. 20, and we'll give you the $20 a month account, which gives you the advanced stats and gives you the ability to get an app as well if you want it. So give it a go. And all you have to do is promote your latest episode. But again, it has to be published the week that post goes up. So if you only publish 2 episodes during the month of December, you'll have 2 opportunities to do it. If you happen to publish, you know, a lot more, maybe once a week, then you have 5 opportunities to participate. And we will do a drawing. We will let you guys know who won on December 30th, Friday, December 30th, for a free year 2017 hosting. Yay. Okay. That's it.
Ta-da!
Okay. Whoa. There we
That's
go.
Why we have John. John,
yes,
never
yes,
ask
do.
Why you're here again. That's
no.
why. How female anyway. Fans made Star Wars their
yes.
own. Now, first of all, when you posted this, I was like, shit, I have to figure out how to talk about Star Wars, because I've recently discovered that I am a Trekkie and not a Star Wars fan. So, like, I've always known about Star Wars. I've seen the Star Wars movies, mostly fallen asleep during them. never quite understood, like I get that it's fun and like, yeah, I root for Han Solo and what's his name, Obi-Wan and all that shit. But like, I never really was like, man, Star Wars is so cool. And then, you know, and I've even seen cultural nerd movies where the Star Wars fans are against the Trekkie fans and they have like a bit of a war with one another. And I always thought that was like, oh, that's funny. Nerds are fighting. But like, when they rebooted Star Trek and made Chris Pine Captain Kirk, like all of a sudden, you know, like the world of Star, and I've always enjoyed the show too. And like the world of it just like intrigues me so much more. And so I decided I don't like Star Wars and I really don't want anything to do with it. I just don't like it. And I will fight someone to the death about which is better, I think, at this point. This article, in some ways, cemented that for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I never realized, although this may be why it bored me to freaking tears, there's so few women in it. And it's like, why am I going to go watch a bunch of dudes fight other dudes about daddy issues? Like, who cares? The only heroine in the first couple movies is Leia. And nothing is going to burn into a little girl's brain more than Leia in a gold bikini chained up to a giant turd that talks. Where's the appeal there? Not sure. Don't know.
Oh, man.
I know. Let's strap our heroine to a turd emoji with frog eyes. He looks like the guy from Weird Science.
He's kind of gross.
And I saw Weird Science first, I think. Although, no, that can't be right because Star Wars is much older than Weird Science. That's an 80s movie and Star Wars was 75. But, like, he's like a poo with a leash. And it's terrible. And so, yeah, it just hasn't been that fun. And then even when they rebooted it and Natalie Portman was in it, like with her weird ass makeup and hair, that's unattainable. I'm never going to have hair like that. So I just was like, whatever, this is just boring. So anyway, so this article. So now I guess if you want to explain the article, basically it's about how women are taking Star Wars and making it their own. They're finding the tiniest, smallest, seemingly insignificant characters and taking it off screen and online and giving them life and storyline that they don't have from Lucasfilms.
Yes.
And then how it relates to podcasting is, I guess, then they podcast about it.
Well, because right? There's a lot of the women who are named here are actually all, most of these, I would say 90% of the women that are mentioned in this article are podcasters. And I think the reason that I wanted to share this is because as an article about something, it was incredibly well-researched, very, very, very in-depth, talked about specifics, gave examples, and really made you interested, especially if you are a Star Wars fan, to dive into these women that are creating this type of conversation in the space. So the reason that I'm sharing this is because this is a type of articles that I feel will really, really help podcasting versus, hey, get more listeners by starting a podcast. It's a new way to market your podcast. It's the, you know, getting very specific niches or people who are covering the space and highlighting podcasters are as key innovators and key instigators within an industry is exactly where we need to be. And so I'm incredibly proud of this article and the women that are mentioned in it because they've done a lot of amazing stuff inside of the podcasting space for the Star Wars franchise and have had an impact. They're having an impact because their voices are being heard. So regardless of what you think about Star Wars, this is the type of stuff that can happen for any industry via the passion of podcasters. And what's even better is that all of these are women and they're being, you know, highlighted in this way. And this is it's a phenomenal article on the New York Times, which is why we've been talking about it so much because this is huge for female podcasters. So that's
yeah.
why I'm sharing it.
So wait, are you a Star Wars fan?
Yes, I love Star Wars. But I also love Star Trek. But I'm not a this or that. I'm a both.
Well,
cool.
Have you actively watched either one for any length of time? Like, have you ever played with Star Wars characters or watched a series of Star Trek that you couldn't like stop watching, or are you just
no.
kind of you're passive about both?
Yeah.
Okay, I would like to invite you. Mm-hmm. If you have not seen any version of Star Trek that you particularly enjoy, to start with Star Trek Voyager. because I think your girls and you would both like, they have hilariously ridiculous characters. They're extremely funny. And the pilot or the captain is Janeway, the woman.
Oh, cool.
Red right. from Orange is the New Black. And she's amazing. She is, I think, and I think Kirk was a nut. So, like, in my opinion, she's the best captain. People would probably say Picard. But, and I've never watched that one. In fact, I've really only watched Voyager, to be honest with you, because I can't stand the other. I like Scott Bakula, but I think I like him from Quantum Leap. And I was too young to really, like, bask in the Shatner glory. And plus, he's so campy. And now that I see it as an adult, I know he's both wearing a girdle and a toupee, and it distracts me.
I will put that for the girls. Like, right now, they're, you know, either in a kind of a Harry Potter stage.
That's why I think they would even, like, listen, Harry Potter and Janeway, not so different. Because Star Trek is about exploring and making friends with different communities and cultures. Well, okay, that has nothing to do with Harry Potter. But, I mean, it's kind of magical and futuristic. And yeah. Just trust me, it's cool.
And then, they watch Star Wars a lot, too. We have, like, all the movies. So,
well, Voyager,
they do send
I think
it.
They're even stuck. It's like a 5-year, really long mission. And mostly, I mean, they don't do a lot of fighting. It's not very male the way it is on the first Star Trek. Like, it's
right.
There are lots of crazy interesting character. I'm telling you, it's one of the few that has kept my interest, and I have no attention span.
All right. Okay, so that
just
I
give
will
it a
that.
Shot.
I'll give it a All shot. Right. Give it a shot.
But I'm glad they like Star Wars. Do they in any way feel a kinship or heroism with Leia or
they're not
anybody?
You know, they're not at this point, I don't think they've
they probably
ever
just
embodied,
like the Ewoks.
Yeah, they haven't embodied any
Anybody,
like at all. You know, I don't think they've ever wanted. They still haven't played, like, the game types of games that they play are all in their own imagination when they go outside and do stuff. Like, they went on an adventure today, but they weren't pretending they were a character, you know, or something. They just play at stuff.
My kids used to walk in the woods next to our house, and Nathan dubbed the little creek that we lived down the street from the Forest of Justice.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And he would take a sword, and he and Emily would go fight the creatures in the Forest of Justice. I don't know where he got that shit, but
oh
he's very
God,
creative.
That's so cute. But yeah,
I know.
Yeah, so they're at that age right now. Yeah, they've gone on adventures. They have a little stick. You know, like the stick when you wrap the bag?
Yes.
The stick. That's what their latest thing is. They, like, have this towel. They put stuff in it. They have this stick, and then they walk around the yard.
Yeah.
It's just so cute.
The next thing I want to address, an article that you posted about bookstores that are being praised for banning Wi-Fi, laptops, and phones.
Oh my God,
a bookstore in Wyoming bringing customers back to the dark age. No Wi-Fi. Take a break. Live like it's 1993. Emails can wait. Yeah. And they're getting F you. That's what I think. I think, how dare you tell me how to live? How dare you tell me what to do? If I want to come to a bookstore and put my laptop there, it's because my toddler's not there. And what are you going to do? You want me to read a book? I'm going to read it on my Kindle. I don't need your tree-killing paper, you hipster bastard. That's what I think.
Okay, I agree with the hipster bastard. I'm a little torn.
Good, at least I got through.
Yeah, you got that right. I'm a little torn about it, because if I don't think every bookstore should be like that. You know, I think that there it's going to be one of those things where, like, let's pretend. Like, a Barnes & Noble is different than the local bookstore's vibe, you know, whatever that might be. Because if you want to create that, you could totally do that. Gosh darn it, where is it that we just went through and said no cell phones? And I was like, what? Of course, we had our cell phone. Oh, the library. It was the library. It said no cell phones at the library, like in the front. It just said that. And I was like, what do you mean no cell phones?
Don't tell me to live like it's 1993. Just turn it into silent. I just feel like, you know, if you're my daughter or my son, maybe you would find novelty in experiencing a bookstore like it's 1993. But I was there in 1993. I was 18 exactly in 1993. And you know what happened to me that year? On Veterans Day, I was supposed to meet my parents in Washington, D.C. with my Japanese foreign exchange student. And my sister and I got lost in Washington, D.C. and just drove around in circles for 4 hours and then went home to Frederick because we had no cell phone, way of calling them, no way of knowing where they were. And we were 100% surrounded by motorcycle gangs. It was one of the scariest days of my life. I don't want to go back to a time when there's no Wi-Fi or no cell phones. Or, you know, if I want to revisit that, I will watch Mr. Mom. I will watch Who's Harry Crumb? I'll watch Caddyshack. I'll watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Like, there's plenty of cultural windows that I can look in and remember what my life was like as a teenager. Thanks, but no thanks. I'll go right back to doing work obsessively every 5 minutes. Thank you very much.
Where I go.
Peace out.
Well, okay. So there's that. And then there's if you want
to... You know what? I just don't like to be told how to live. That's all.
Yeah, but then at the same time, it's your business, though. You know, it's like if you start to think about, like, what if you wanted something specific about and in the way that you conduct business, and these are the things that I would like you to do when you come to my store. Like, if you agree with this, this is where you come. It's sort of like if you have a – think about it. If, like, you go and you have a restaurant – and your restaurant is a vegan restaurant and you know, or for whatever reason, it's like, you know, it's some kind of socioeconomic choice and you just don't have that. And then somebody comes in and is like, why don't you have a burger?
No. You know what you're getting when you go to a vegan restaurant. It's a novelty. You're going there for the vegan food. I'm not going to a bookstore necessarily for your stupid ass books.
But I could
I'm going because it's quiet.
No Wi-Fi bookstore. Maybe if I named it that, like...
Name it that, mellow. Then I would know not to go in.
Exactly. I think that's the key.
But there's two... Okay, so there's two examples here of this same scenario, and you tell me which is offensive and which is not, and which has the right way, okay?
Yeah.
One time I went to my friend's house. I was spending the night there. We were in Syracuse. We were going to, like, a... I don't remember if I told you this story or not. We were going to Darien Lake and we were seeing the spin doctors, which should tell you that it probably was around 1993. Her mother, I knew, was very obsessive compulsive. She greeted me at the door with socks, her own pair of socks, because mine wouldn't do. And she wanted me to wear the socks in the house because she was so obsessive that, like, she cleaned the house every day top to bottom and everything in there was pristine from, like, 1971, like full shag carpeting, you know, wallpaper was immaculate. It was like walking, it was like stepping into a time I wasn't even born in. And, you know, you comply because it's not your house and you're a guest. I was happy to do it and also fascinated by this phenomenon. But, you know, I put on the socks and I went about my bed. I wasn't insulted by the fact that my bare feet were not clean enough, nor were my own pair of socks. And she was probably right because I was in college and who washes their clothes? So, you know, some people, my friend told me that some people would get offended when their mom would hand them socks because, like, they felt like they were being told they were dirty and whatever, and they were being told how to live. But, like, I was cool with it. And then later, okay, so that's one scenario where someone's telling you, they're giving you the rules because it's their house. And my mom, for example, would say to my friends, no, we don't run around naked in the backyard. This is my house. These are our rules. At your house, you can run around naked however you want, you know, but my friends weren't allowed to do that at my house. So then there's another scenario where when I very first met Scott, there's a Chinese food restaurant. They had the best food. However, when you walked in, you were A, not allowed to have your cell phone out. B, you were not allowed to have any children in the restaurant under 5. You had children under 5. They were not welcome in this restaurant. And it had a little card on every table saying so. Children under 5 are not welcome in this restaurant. Also, if you wanted a lemon, it was an extra 50 cents for your water. If you wanted crunchy noodles with your soup, it was an extra 50 cents. If you needed X, Y, and Z, it was an extra, everything was an extra 50 cents. And, like, and they were very fussy about the way that you order. It's kind of like the soup Nazi.
Right.
Right? Like, and when I ate there, I felt very imposed upon because I wanted their food, but I kind of didn't want to be told how to devour it. I should be able to eat it at my leisure without them telling me whether or not I could be on the phone, without them telling me whether or not I could have my kid there. Like, I just felt like they were being very bossy and controlling. And this is kind of how I feel about this bookstore.
I think that it's
how
also
dare
the way
you
that
say I'm mansplaining. Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
if you see it at the beginning, and you're right, I think that something, the thing that's, like, the most annoying,
it's,
I guess,
off-putting
about it is that it, yeah, it's the sign. The sign is a little off-putting. I think that if it was, again, oh, but this actually leads us into sort of like what we have. There's an article that we have here that's actually right after this. It says why you must do a podcast.
Yeah, I switched the order because I thought it was relevant.
Yeah, no. So no. But it's really interesting because I'm not. Did we discuss the other one, the other article that was put out about the guy who wrote how you're not just please for the love of all things holy, do not start a podcast. Post.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yes.
So anyway,
and he's talking about it in this article.
Exactly. And we talked about, you know, it was just a little bit too salty and it, just the way that he mentioned the whole thing.
No,
and it's a little
off-putting. I thought he was right.
Well, no, I did not. I just thought
it
was salty.
I don't recall that.
Well,
I
think he's very salty. I may not have discussed it on this show. But anyway, whatever his name is, I'm not. Oh, you know what?
Ryan Holiday.
I'm not a fan of his. I think he is.
A jerk?
Yeah. So or he comes off like that. And I just didn't.
I thought we liked this article.
No.
Wait, hold on.
I did not. I personally did not.
I said he was right, though.
No.
You shouldn't do it if.
I just don't like his attitude. The discussion that was on the Facebook group about that article, the Ryan Holiday one, was for the most part negative. And it had to do with the fact that he is, in a way, being very white male and mansplaining, in a way. Like his attitude. About the podcast.
Okay.
And then the way that the title, it's just off-putting. But the thing what I want to mention about this one, this is by James Altucher. And he has a complete, he basically said exactly what Ryan Holiday said in a completely positive way that makes you consider podcasting and makes you have the choice of having a podcast or not. He clearly puts it out instead of sort of like the sign in your bookstore where it's like incredibly off-putting just by reading that. And you're just like, you just get all of a sudden you have this reaction to it, whether or not maybe it's a good choice, right? Because you don't get to that maybe it's a good choice because you're so upset by the sign. And that's how I was with the Ryan Holiday thing. He has some things that like were like, okay, that seems smart.
Well,
but it's just the way he wrote it. I can't get over it. I just think he's full of himself. But maybe I'm
wrong. So let's think about this for a second. Okay, so Ryan Holiday wrote it in a way that was off-putting for you. James Altucher and the beauty of him, and if you guys aren't reading or listening to James Altucher, do your brain a favor and do it. The beauty of him in general is that he uses his own humility as a teaching tool. Everything is about how James improves James, and all it is the thought process that he uses to be his best self in the hopes that it will teach you to do that for yourself. So in that spirit, how could we rephrase no Wi-Fi at the bookstore, live like it's 1993? Take a break is sort of like, I don't know. I just feel like it's like, let me get my twirly mustache and my, dictaphone. I just feel like they're being too hipstery. But what if we could phrase it in a different way? So let's see. We should might have a bracelet that says, what would James Altucher say? So like,
it's,
maybe
I think
he
for
would
me,
say...
It's a different way to connect with yourself. Like, I know that that's a little, like for me, it would be like space.
I just got it. What if the sign said, there's something beautiful about turning a page with your hand, feeling the weight of a book.
Yeah, that's true.
With your fingers.
Totally.
Letting your mind wander. Because of that, we respectfully request that your electronics be left off so that you can enjoy the beauty of a book. Like, explain the positive instead of being
exactly.
bossy. And maybe that's the difference between Ryan and James for you.
Totally. That's what I was talking about. And
yeah.
Also the fact that you inspire people to like come and journal here. Come and sit down and write.
Have a convo.
Have a conversation. Drink some coffee. You know, like something quiet and something that is going to help your creativity. You know, to me, I'm like, oh, that would be so fun. How great would it be for me to say like, hey, Jess, I'm going to go, I'm going to turn off a little bit. I'm going to the bookstore.
Yeah. And there actually there are parts of that article where he even says like, here's what has to happen in order to, it says how to put on a production. Number one, 17 emails back and forth from the guests. Number two, a studio is scheduled. Why not Skype? Because in person is better. That's all. Like there's no reasoning. There's no Skype is fine. In person is better than not in person, period. That's his reasoning. And he's probably right.
Right.
Some of us don't have the luxury of
living in New
York.
Yeah, and he didn't either. And he mentions that. You know, he says, I started this way. I was able then to take it from this place to this place. So it didn't get there by just all of a sudden randomly having us, you know, our recording face to face. He didn't start like that. He started just like we all start. So he does say that. But and it's a great, I mean, it's a really, really good article. You guys should definitely check it out. You'll find it in the show notes. But again, it's because the Ryan Holiday one was very off-putting to me, and it felt condescending. And even though there's been times when I wanted to write an article with a title that was like that, because I definitely get frustrated sometimes when people want to start a podcast because somebody told them they need to, or because they're feeling that they're going to miss out if they don't have one, but they don't understand what it takes to podcast. They don't understand like what we talk about, which is like, you must want a podcast. Like you really need to want to, mm-hmm. because it is challenging. I mean, it's so hard. Why would you want to subject yourself to all this stuff? And you can hear it when I listen to podcasts from people who are really not into it, or they do batch producing and things like that. I am bored out of myself. And I can't stand that. I listen to podcasts because of the connection that I have with the people. And you can tell via somebody's voice when they're phoning it in or when they're totally passionate about something. You can tell. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just feel like that was a... But you guys can let us know, guys, if you guys think that maybe it's the message and how you put it out there that really makes a difference with this no wife. I'll put a link in the show notes so you guys can definitely check out the sign for the no Wi-Fi bookstore. So you guys click through, look at the sign and say, you know, do you like it? Or is this like, it's a little bit too much, too boss. It's too bossy before you even enter. Mm-hmm. I'd get stressed out, dude. If I saw that, I'd be like, I don't belong there.
Yeah, me too.
So, but the way you put it in terms of like going in and then reading a book and flipping through pages, looking through magazines, writing on your journal, having a quiet conversation, that is nice.
Totally.
So.
Yeah. Interesting, interesting, interesting convo, I think.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, next. What's
so I have a love for this, Jess. So this lady, Carolyn Crampton, started a podcast column for newstateman.com mm-hmm. website. Mm-hmm. And she started it at the end of October. Her column is released every Thursday. And she is diving into the conversation of podcasting as culture. So she's not talking about the type of articles that you find on Forbes or Fortune or, you know, all the Entrepreneur and all of those other podcasts over there that are basically those sort of cookie cutter podcasts that are aimed at primarily like the entrepreneur type of people who want to understand the ROI or want to invest in the space. She's kind of going at this from the perspective of a podcast listener and the impact podcasts can and will be having on culture. And what I love about her is that she's not focusing only on procasters, but she really is a podcast listener. Like she listens to podcasts and she doesn't only just listen to radio type podcasts. I've read her column every time that she's released it every Thursday, and every column is awesome. I mean, I'm like, great, that was a great article. Like, I have no complaints about it. I think it's awesome. She brings about topics that are incredibly unique, that are not being covered. And again, she does it from the perspective of a listener, and she is not only introducing people to podcasting by talking about it, but also opening people's eyes to the indie podcasters or people who are breaking molds within the way the perception of what podcasts are and how they have an impact in culture. So you guys definitely check it out. I am going to be linking to the original post that she put up here. I'm not sure how to get them every Thursday. Like, that's one of those things. I guess you could sign up for the email, but I don't know if that's, like, going to give you all of the...
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure about that. But she definitely has some fantastic articles. You guys definitely like... and she does a lot of writing for the New Statesman. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit much here for... but at the same. So here's some of the titles that she's done. Let me see. She wrote one that was called How to Use Podcasts as U.S. Election Therapy. Then she did another one that was How Long Should a Podcast Be?
Mm-hmm.
That really, I mean, and again, it's covering it from a totally refreshing point of view. So you will not be, it's just going to make your brain go, yay.
That was very eloquent.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's doing
interesting.
Yeah. I love it.
Well, at least somebody's writing about it. I think that's cool.
From a good point. I'm just impressed with her writing skills and her ability. And she's doing homework. She's listening to podcasts. She's following up. She's having conversations with podcasters. She's interviewing them. She's writing deeper about them. And she's verifying her own facts. And she has a personal opinion that is not just regurgitating what she's heard.
Right.
And that's what I love, because most people that are writing about the medium right now are quoting data. They're quoting somebody else's thoughts, but they don't have enough of an understanding of the space themselves to have a personal opinion about it so that they can articulate what they think. They're simply just being like, okay, what, Jess, I need a quote from you about the podcasting advertising industry, right? And then you give it, and then they go, Jessica Kufferman said, and then that's it.
Yep.
And then they kind of reiterate what you said. So anyway, that's what I love, because then she has her own opinion, and then she actually, you know, editorializes it and talks about it here and this way. And so anyway.
Yeah.
That is all. As you can tell, I love her column, so please go read it.
I can't tell at all. You seem so...
I know. I'm so not into it.
Stoic about it. Like with everything.
Dude.
One thing you can say about Elsie, she has opinions and they're strong. Like most Aquariuses, she is true to her sign. Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. What?
I don't care about this.
It's interesting. You don't want to skip it? I'm going to skip it.
Now what the hell? All right. Reese is going to produce female-driven TV shows, movies, and podcasts for AT&T. She's teamed up with Otter Media. A venture between AT&T and the Chernin Group to produce female-driven content that spans anywhere from digital shorts and podcasts to TV and motion pictures. And actually, she has already been developing women-driven media, so that's a good thing, I think. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. I don't know that I relate to Reese specifically, but I do think she's a good actress. I think she's fun in everything she's in. I've always liked her. I mean, I've yet to see a movie with her that I didn't think was her character was fun or funny. Like, I like her with the, like, she was in a cop buddy comedy with I want to say Gloria Estefan, but that's not true. It's the woman that plays Gloria on Modern Family, and
yeah, her name is
Sophia
that's not
Vergara,
Gloria Estefan, dude. Oh my god,
Sophia
Gloria
Vergara
Estefan would not have done it.
Sophia Vergara, and they were both hilarious. I thought that movie was hilarious. She was hilarious in Legally Blonde. I've watched that a billion. All right, so I guess she's all right. I don't know.
No, she's good. I mean, I think that what this is more about is not necessarily as her. Like, it's the fact that she's focusing on creating content that is female driven. That the stars of the podcast, the radio, the TV are female driven. You know,
this is great. You know, I just kind of wish, you know, my hero more than Reese Witherspoon is the founder of Hoo Ha Ha.
Yeah, yeah. She's great. I forgot.
Why
her name
can't
too,
I remember her name
we've
right
decided,
now?
We've, you know,
damn it.
Oh well, but I get it.
But yeah, so I mean, but maybe that's just because I'm drawn to comedies. I guess I don't know. Tips.
All right.
Elsie's tool tips.
So I've put in a call to action over on the Libsyn page, and I've gotten a couple of responses on this, guys. But there is a new app that has just come out, and I think part of it is that we need to engage with some of these apps to see if they actually work to do and solve the problem that they seem to be kept created to solve. So Radio Public is a new app that's been put out. I'm not exactly sure. Let me just quote exactly from who's creating this. But basically, the app was created to tackle podcasting's lingering challenges, which are based around searchability and finding things, right? So it is a I believe Radio Public here says, is a for-profit company helmed by familiar names. Former PRX CEO Jake Shapiro is now Radio Public CEO. It's spun out of the nonprofit PRX, which is responsible for podcast network Radiotopia, also for an assorted of, assortment
exhausting.
Of podcast-related tech.
All.
I know, dude.
God.
But see, this one is supposed to be an app that is going to create ways for you to, like, you know, if you like this, you will like this. And here's a podcast that you can listen to. And then it'll give you suggestions as to how to find or things that are kind of sort of like with the Netflix type of, you know, algorithm-ish type thing. They'll have playlists based upon a specific subject that you would want to find and whatnot. So, I don't know. The ideas for these things, you know, and the press releases and the coverage that this is getting right now in the space is always big. And then we as podcasters go like, oh, my God. Or people that are outside even the podcasting industry and maybe the radio folk are like, oh, my God, did you see this? This is the latest thing. This is awesome. The reality is that people won't use this. Is what I think. And so instead of
that's
just complaining, instead of complaining, I actually put a shout out over on the Libsyn page and I said, hey guys, can you do me a favor? Download this app and use it and give us your thoughts. Is
and?
It gonna work? So there have been a couple of things that have come up and which allows for the same problem, which we're having an issue with, that if you start to look for something specific, you do not get the results that you're looking for. Like, it just won't come up. It's not happening. So this is what people have said as of late. From the Fish Nerds, he's just trying right now. He's going to give it a shot.
The so Fish he has Nerds. Hi, Clay.
Hi. So they have not started. But William Smith from the actually, you're going to like this. From he's got Trek Geeks. He's got a fantastic Star Trek podcast. So he says, I'm already done with it. First, it sucks on the iPad. It's ugly. Second, if I search for Star Trek, I get about 12 results, all with Star Trek in the first two words of the show title. I can't see more results. To find Trek Geeks, I have to search for that exact string. Oh, yeah, this will solve the discoverability issue. Sure, is what he said. And then somebody else, Pete Mason, he wrote, just search for geocaching and got one English language result. Search for ours by name and nothing showed up. So in terms of, I mean, those are just two people. And so I think that, I mean, we do report on these things, but I think it's up to us also to go check it out, because is it really going to make an impact? And this is what people are investing their money in. And I just think that, I don't know.
Why?
I think there's a disconnection between people investing and the reality of the space. Like, I just feel weird, though, because shouldn't somebody say like, hey, don't put your money on that.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. So anyway, I don't know. The idea seems good again, but I don't know.
I mean, look, that's how I felt at the podcast Upfront. I was amazed at how much money was being poured into stuff that was an exact replica of other stuff.
Yeah. That didn't
work. Oh, you're doing sex crimes in audio tape? Gee, I wonder what that sounds like. That sounds like true crime, which sounds like Criminal, which sounds like Serial. Oh, what a smart investment.
So here's interesting stuff here, too. So this is an app, right? It's a free app that you download. But they're also going to be testing monetization models within that same app. So, quote, monetization features will likely start appearing in the app early next year. Radio Public is currently working with the $1.5 million raised in its first round of funding. Supporters include the – anyway, I don't want to – tell you who that is. And this is what Shapiro said. He said, we are on a rapid development cycle. We're watching in real time publishers experimenting with their own business models. And we think we can be nimble enough to connect those publishers with the new waves of listeners they're identifying. Mm-hmm. We are in a good position to be the enabler of connections to new audiences for new content. Obviously, this doesn't mean we'd never do so. It's not really our best place to be investing in original content for the foreseeable future. So obviously, they're trying to work with people that are already putting stuff out there. But again, the point is to grow audiences and to, I don't know, I can't understand how somebody can monetize or help you, like us, if we were in the app. I don't understand how to make money off of that. Like, as a subscription model, like, why would I want to send somebody to Radio Public if I can just send them to my Patreon?
if other people are also using it, there's a good chance it has a bigger audience than just your Patreon. Like that you'll be discoverable, I think. No?
Okay. So is it worth it? What do you think?
It depends on if Radio Public has an actual, like, so it's sort of like the question of, like, should I find a network and be on a network? I've been asked to be on this, okay, like, internet right, radio network. And they say, well, we have a million people looking at our website and you don't. So it's like, great. Well, I want those million people to listen to my show. I'll be on the network. Then you realize they don't have any traffic. You have more traffic. And now you're driving traffic to their freaking website.
Exactly.
And not your freaking website. Yep. This is the whole point of, this is their business model, I think.
I get it.
So for CBS, yeah, brilliant. For them, I don't know. Is it worth it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you guys think. So your homework is to download that app. There will be a link in the show notes. And you can check it out from there just to see if you can find something or if you can consume the content the way that you're used to. Because I think capitalizing on already existing habits is the easiest way to get into having something work rather than trying to create new habits for people, because that sucks. We've all tried to do that and we often fail. So having that happen is not a good thing. But now to just kind of prove how hard it is, though, I decided to do this little game. We're just going to do two questions here. I posted in the She Podcast group that we can do a little search for something in iTunes to see what comes up in terms of podcasts. So I've opened iTunes in my computer right now, and we are going to search for kitchen remodeling. So a question from Michelle. She says, I'm getting ready to do some remodeling to my kitchen, so what should I know about my kitchen remodel? So
okay.
I figure that's a really good keyword.
Do it up. Should I do it too?
If you want to. I will give you my... So
no, I'm going to look in mine because, you know, sometimes we don't get the same stuff.
That's true. So
kitchen remodeling from Ginger. Let's see.
No, that's Ginger's the next one. This is Michelle. Oh, sorry. Okay, kitchen remodeling. We'll see what happens. And what?
This is an iTunes, right?
This is an iTunes, and iTunes podcast. Yeah, in the podcast section. So this is what I got, guys. Episode 39 from the Home Repair Tutor says kitchen remodeling tips and when to use electricians. The second result that I got is from Pro Construction Guide Podcast for Pros. And it says Construction Podcast Episode 52, Kitchen Remodeling Do's and Don'ts. Those seem pretty cool responses there, guys.
Yeah.
And then, there's this one from, the provider. It's Angie's List. Who knew? The podcast is Chat with the Experts Home and Lifestyle Show. And that is Kitchen and Bathroom Remodeling Trends. That seems like a really good one to listen to. So let's see if we can narrow it down here, because she asked specific. She said, I'm getting to do some remodeling to my kitchen. So what should I know about kitchen remodel? So we got a couple of real good ones. Mm-hmm. Kitchen remodeling do's and don'ts.
Helpful.
And then there's like actually two parts for, and this one is called the Real Estate Radio Live. Real Estate Radio Live. He had two parts. Kitchen, what is it? With Cindy Carey from Starbucks Construction. Carrie explains the process of remodeling your kitchen. That's pretty cool. All right. So that was good.
Yeah.
So if you...
I got all the same ones that you got.
Yeah. So then but you can basically, if you want to do some research around kitchen remodeling, you can just put that in iTunes and you get all of these different podcast episodes to kind of listen to. And some of these ones are really short. Like one of them is 11 minutes. The Home Repair Tutor. The Kitchen Remodeling Do's and Don'ts is 26 minutes and 31 seconds. Mm-hmm. So it seems, and they even have they have two videos. This one is A Day in Real Estate with Kevin McCarthy. And the episode is called My Tips for Remodeling Your Kitchen. And that one is a video podcast. So you can watch that. All right. So we'll do another one. This is from Ginger. She says that she wants to climb on or hopping on Michelle's question. She says, what about decorating a small apartment from scratch? So what do you think? What should we search for?
I am searching for decorate apartment from scratch.
Okay.
Or just let's start with decorate apartment.
I'm going to put small apartment decor.
And I got iPhone apps. Let's try this again. Oh, because I'm in music maybe? All right. Podcasts. Well, yes, but I don't know why it came up with that.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. You're right. I got a bunch of small apartment decorations.
No. All right. So let's try apartment decorate tips.
Okay.
Nothing. Okay. Let's try decorate tips. Now we're getting somewhere. domestic CEO, tips to sell your house, decorate your castle, the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio.
I'm still, that's so weird. I'm still not getting
just put decorate anything. Tips, nothing else, no apartment. Great. I think it's the apartment.
Oh, okay. That's weird. Oh, yeah, you're right. It is the apartment. Well, there's tips. Yeah, decorate your castle ideas and tips. DIY home decor. This wasn't as clear as the other one. How to add art to your decor. There's also a there's also a video podcast from Life Minute Podcast Kids and Family, Summer's Hottest Home DIY Decor and Paint Tips. It's a 4-minute podcast. That's really cool. I mean, I think with iTunes you just have to get the right keywords, I guess, you know. But you can get some stuff.
Right.
See, I'm going to do one last one because I want to see traveling in Barcelona because I love Barcelona and see if I come up with anything or if it's, I got a book, ooh, with a booty. There's one book that showed up. It says A Weekend in Barcelona and it's a lady's tush. That was not good. The broadcast podcast. Well, that wasn't very good. So there's some things that work and some things that don't. I put traveling in Barcelona and it gave me the broadcast. And the only reason it showed that is because episode 23 says traveling and the provider is Vicky Barcelona. That's okay. Not good. Well, no. That's not good. That didn't give me the right thing at all. So.
So maybe these weren't good. Do we have any other questions or are those
that
the
is
first
it.
Two?
Those are the Boo. Only ones we have. And that is okay because we did a test.
Well, can we make stuff up?
We can. I totally just did. Traveling in Barcelona is what I wanted to find out about if I could get some information about it. And it didn't work.
Let's do transitioning from co-sleeping.
Okay.
And I'm typing that exact thing in.
Maybe it would be like sleep training instead of like.
All right, yeah, but that sounds like a. I don't like training. It sounds like a dog.
I know. That's what people call
but I'll,
it.
You're right. I'll type it in. Sleep training.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot besides Sleep With Me podcast. There's books, The Mom Vent, Raising Our Kids, Something in German, One Bad Mother, Mind Pump, Precious Little Sleep Parenting. Okay, so you. I mean, yeah, I found what I wanted for the most part. I haven't listened to them all, but there's information on it for sure.
Good. See, that's something that we can kind of figure out for people.
Yes.
So maybe optimizing the ability for people to use what's already out there to find your podcast. So that'll give you a little bit more to think about regarding the way that you name your titles. And your name your podcasts, the episodes, because something that iTunes does very well is to look for your episode titles. So if there's an episode title that is very specific that you want to really have it rank high in iTunes for, and then you're delivering information, this would be great. Or if like you have a review about trolls, you know, the Disney movie or something, instead of naming it something funny and something, you know, that is a very inside trolls joke, you can just call it Trolls Review for Parents or something like that, you know, where it's very straightforward and it's not going to make you go, what? Right? Because
exactly.
I put co-sleeping in here and then I got one of the results is Dear Sugar, I'm sleeping with with younger men. Yeah. So anyway, I think we're coming to an end here.
Wait a minute. You're not going to do your weird wild show?
Yes, I have one weird wild show here to talk
do
about,
it.
Which it's kind of crazy. I just bumped into this. This is from New York Magazine, and the title called my attention. It says, New York Magazine Sex Lives Podcast, When Did You First See Your Vulva? And
can you answer that question? No, like, can you?
I think so. I was younger than this woman, though.
Being aware
younger.
Of it is not the same as seeing.
Well, I was little. Oh.
Hello. You say vulva and Elsie just loses it.
Totally. Well, you know, I was very intrigued by what it looked like. So I think I must have been in my young. I must have been like 8 or 7.
That's old.
Or 9. Or I don't know.
That feels
to
old
look
to
at
me.
It, does it? Because I remember. I don't know. I know that I was little. I know that I was little because I was really intrigued by what it looked like. So I, you know, you use a mirror. You grab a mirror and you look.
I didn't have a hand mirror, but I feel like somewhere in the house was a full length mirror. And I used to have baths with my sister, so even if I didn't see my own, I certainly saw hers,
right?
And vice versa.
I think that I did not have sisters, so that's why.
See, none of that surprised me. So seeing my own, I mean, that's the thing. It's like awareness, vulva awareness, is not the same as seeing my own vulva. Like I probably saw it once, lost interest, and didn't regain interest until somebody in my teen or adult years asked me this question. And then I was like, well, maybe it's been a while. I guess I'll take a gander.
Right.
But nothing is surprising because I knew what it looked like already. It's kind of like, what? All right. So it's just bigger than when I was 4. Big deal.
Well, but here's this is the weird part, though. This is so bizarre. The first sentence in this article says, Mona Kalabi or Shalabi. I'm sorry, Mona. I'll just call you Mona. Wow. I don't want to miss. Yeah. Mona first saw her vulva while peering into a hand mirror at a labiaplasty surgeon's office. That would probably not the first time that I would want to see my vulva.
No,
because why would you want to
know if you need labiaplasty?
Exactly. So
that don't make no sense.
So anyway, this podcast episode, the Sex Lives, they kind of walk you through it. And I guess the podcast is in as this is happening. So anyway, I just thought this was an interesting podcast. So the title says, take a look at my badge.
Yeah. What do you reckon?
Yeah. But this is so fun. At the end of this article that you guys can look in the link in the show notes, of course. At the end, the last sentence says, call 646-494-2590 to leave a voicemail about vaginas, vulva, sex ed, seesaws, or whatever else is on your mind. That, my friends, is the way you engage the community. See this? This is a post on New York Magazine.
The sentence before that.
It says, plus the harrowing tale. Oh, yeah.
Ouch!
Plus the Plus the harrowing tale of how Mona lost her virginity in a childhood accident. With a seesaw.
Boom shakalaka.
Oh my God, that hurts. Just
hurts
saying
it. My nose thinking about it. Ouch.
Yeah, so anyway, that's not good.
That reminds me, though, the labioplasty thing. I don't know if you've seen the movie Melissa McCarthy's The Boss.
No.
Kristen Bell walks in on her spray tanning, like her everything from the waist down, her legs, her nether regions, whatever. And she was saying, Kristen Bell was like, you look kind of like a, like an Eastern immigrant down there, and she's like, you may want to lay off the self-tanner on the nether regions. And she goes, Melissa McCarthy's character is like a Martha Stewart, she's like a millionaire mogul type. She's so funny. She goes, oh yes, I've had a vaginal rejuvenation down there. It's as tight as a coin purse. I can barely urinate. It's so funny. So proud of it. She's like, I can barely urinate. Like,
oh,
she's so excited.
That,
she's like, it's a coin purse.
That. It's a coin purse. Holy crap. All it's right, dude. So what's yours?
Okay.
Now that we know about vulvas.
Creepy Kingdom.
Okay.
Creepykingdom.com. It is a take on the Disney podcast, but only the creepy creepy.
Oh.
How fun, right?
Yeah.
So it's all the spooky, Halloween-y, like... Haunted Mansion-y highlighting type stuff of Disney.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. I thought it was cool too. So that's really, not much more to say than that. It's basically creepykingdom.com and it's a Disney one, but all about, the creepy Disney. So I thought it was fun.
Yay.
Okay. Down to the Patreon if you've listened this far.
Yes. And then actually, we just want to give a big shout out to Sarah Williams from Tough Girl Podcast.
Yeah.
Because, my God, she put an amazing post on about our Patreon on the She Podcast group. And we got a bunch of patrons because of that. Thank you, Sarah Williams. It's amazing to have
Thank
that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And Sarah's podcast, the Tough Girl Podcast, is all about inspiring and motivating you. She interviews inspirational women from around the world who faced and overcome difficult challenges and situations. They will share their story, their knowledge, and provide advice and essential tips for you to overcome your own personal challenges. So I think that our Patreon qualified.
We doubled our Patreon. in one day simply because Sarah said, and we didn't even pay her. What made her do this,
but that's
why
very sweet.
She did it. But out of nowhere,
because
our Facebook group, she was like, can't you just give them a dollar? For the love of all that it's holy. She's like my Jewish grandmother. She's like, give the women a dollar. If everyone in here gave them a dollar, they'd have $4,500. And I was like, man, that would make a big difference in my life, to be honest with you.
It would be amazing.
If all of you listening gave us a dollar a month, it would make a huge difference in both of our lives. Elsie, you might be able to get a car with a car payment.
Dude, I have a car.
You have two cars.
We have two cars and they're all paid for.
Are either of them from this century?
Yes, of course. Our Jeep has like 500,000, not 500,000.
What year is it?
It's got 75,000 miles on it. It's very...
Okay, I didn't mean this century. I meant this decade. Are any from this decade?
Yeah, I think so. Our Jeep is a good Jeep. It's a very good
car. After 2010?
I think so.
All right. All right, I'll give you that one. But still, I could afford my car payment. That would be cool.
No, but that would be really cool. No, but really, I'm going to be building the Patreon. I mean, Jess and I are going to be really focusing on this stuff. And you guys are going to be getting some really great perks being patrons that are above and beyond all the outtakes that we will be posting. And because I do have a ton of ideas. And it's just, I just feel really passionate about the community. And one of the things that I really want to do is be present, like more in the Facebook group, like for real. Like, I'd love that
too.
I'd be there. Like, that's, I'm getting, like, you, the more patrons we have,
the more
presence
I'll have.
You'll be
paying Elsie to be there for you every day.
And then I will be answering more questions, a lot more, you know, hand holding, a lot more answering of questions, a lot more engagement and making sure that you're taken care of.
What would they be paying me to do? I guess build a better website and have it keep up.
Well, it'll be lots of different things. Like, we can definitely be talking about some of that stuff.
Maybe plan some live events. I could do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they could pay me to, I don't know, be funnier. Make t-shirts,
all kinds of fun things.
We could just offer a lot more stuff if we had that kind of money. So if you could, I mean, hell, give us $2, but one would be awesome. Some of them did.
Yeah, no, there
give
is.
Us two. They pledged twice.
It's amazing. Really, really nice. Great. Very sweet, guys. Thank you so much.
We're going to start posting stuff for you. Right now, we each get $11 a month. It means a lot.
Yes.
It's not a lot, though. And so with that $11, I can pay Libsyn. Nope. Not even pay Libsyn.
Well, we can both pay Libsyn.
We can both pay Libsyn together. Yes.
Yes. Correct. We pay for Libsyn. So we have our hosting taken care of, so that's good.
Anyway,
but thank you for listening this far. This is a long episode. We thought we'd keep you occupied after Thanksgiving. Maybe this is the way that you have unwound.
Get away from your family. Yes. Listen to us. Yes. Thank you for listening to us.
If you have any feedback, please call us email us at feedback@shepodcast.com. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Jess?
Yeah. Twitter @shepodcast, Facebook @shepodcast, Patreon @shepodcast. All you do is type in thosewebsites.com/shepodcast. You'll find us pretty much anywhere. Our website is shepodcast.com, and we have our show notes, all the links from there. And then if you want to email us, please do. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
Love you.
Mean it. Bye.
Bye.